It's about looking at your marketplace and what everyone else is doing in their marketing and then doing something that's totally different. Example, you're driving down the highway, there's all these brown Jersey cows, and then you see a purple cow. You want to be the purple cow in your marketplace.
Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 39 of the Real Estate Pros Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I am your host, Josh Cobb, and this is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate pros and industry experts from all across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little more personally and the stories behind their success to help you take your career to another level. And I'm excited about this week's show. I'm speaking with Natalie Wendell, the marketing manager at Wendell Property Management in Auckland, New Zealand. Natalie is going to share with us her background in real estate, how Wendell Property Management have grown their business in a market where deregulation means that just about anybody can run a property management business with no licensing in place. And we discuss the branding and marketing strategies that have made Wendell Property Management a company everyone is proud to love. But before we catch up with Natalie, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Beepo, helping businesses save money and be more efficient with specialised outsourcing solutions. Visit beepo.com.au and find out just how easy it is to set up your own trusted outsourcing team that helps take your business to the next level.
So this week I wanted to share with you a very quick way of measuring if your marketing on Facebook is actually having any impact. Now, we all want to know how to get more likes and we all want more followers on Facebook, but for the smart marketers out there, you all know that it doesn't matter how many likes that you have on Facebook, it's how many that actually care about your business and are engaging with the content that you're creating and sharing on social media. And a very quick way of measuring if what you're doing is having any impact whatsoever is a metric called people talking about this. Now, how you can get this number is on your Facebook company page, just under the big profile image at the top, there is your number of likes. And if you click on that number, it will take you through to another screen where it will show you how it will actually say how many people are talking about this or how many people are talking about your company. Now, you can do this for your competitors as well. You can jump onto their page and click on that number, and it will show you the amount of people talking about their page as well. And if you divide the number of likes on your page by the people talking about this, that will give you a percentage of essentially your engagement at a very high level. So it's just a quick way of measuring if what you're doing on Facebook is having any impact whatsoever. The higher the percentage, the better, of course. And I encourage you to jump on and have a look at this. You might be surprised at what your engagement is actually like. We were working with a business not too long ago that had 8,500 likes on their company page, and only 20 to 25 people per month are actually talking about the brand. So certainly there's a lot of room for improvement with a lot of companies when it comes to marketing on Facebook. So I encourage you to jump onto your company Facebook page and have a look at the people talking about this number for your business. And if there's anything that you're doing that's quite unique that is getting great engagement on Facebook for your business, I would love to hear from you. Send me an email, drop me a line on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn. Would love to see what you're up to. And with that, let's transition over to this week's featured guest. I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Natalie Wendell, the marketing manager of Wendell Property Management in Auckland, New Zealand. As a multi-award-winning agency, the goal for Wendell Property Management is to make their clients more money than they would make by managing their property themselves. And they do this by reducing vacancy times, ensuring that the property is well-maintained and following systems for thorough and effective tenant management. Natalie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Josh. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for joining us. So I've given our listeners just a brief overview, but take a minute. Tell us a little bit more about you personally and give us an overview of Wendell Property Management.
Oh, thanks, Josh. So we're a family-run business. About 5 years ago, my husband and I purchased a rent roll with my mother. And my mother had been running that rent roll for 30 years. So you could say it was a wee bit like buying a famous restaurant that was already doing really well. So we had a great springboard to work from. And since then, we've moved into larger premises and also doubled the size of the rental. So it's been really exciting and a huge time for change.
And what about yourself, Natalie? You've obviously got Ashley involved in the company as well. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit more about the business and what you guys are up to today.
So Ashley and I both have a hospitality background, so we're mad keen on service offerings. That's really very much the core of what we work towards here. So everything that we do, whether it be tenant communication, owner communication, new business, every element, we ensure that that service, that feeling that we've really understood our customer is communicated right through everything from going into someone's property to do an inspection and leaving a handwritten note to say, hey, thanks so much, really appreciate how beautiful you're keeping the house, really helps us in the long run to develop great long-term relationships. And that's how we grow our business, through referral from tenants, tradespeople, and our existing owners.
Well, I'd be silly not to congratulate you as well, Natalie, publicly for the new little addition to your family. Yeah. I understand you're already putting him to work at the office.
Indeed. He actually, my husband, for his first Christmas, bought our son Kingston our little Fiat Bambino, which is our company car, and he's had it branded, and the number plate says Kingston. So I think that if he doesn't want to be in real estate, there's really going to be hell in my household.
Fantastic. Well, Natalie, for those who aren't familiar with where you work and live, can you describe the area for our listeners, what the market has been like in recent years, and and the typical kind of property that you manage?
We're based in Auckland, New Zealand, and we cover the whole of Auckland, which is a wide space to cover, which is why we segment it down and have different property managers manage areas that they either grew up in or they currently live in, because different parts of Auckland, there is a huge variety of the style of housing, the style of owners and tenants. What's going on in Auckland at the moment? Well, in 2010, the industry was completely unregulated. So now anyone can call themselves a property manager, and what we're finding is a lot of ma-and-pa startups are beginning to market themselves as property managers, generally working from a room in their house, no support, no training, and we're really beginning to find that these people are dropping their rates. So we're having a lot of issue in the marketplace with cut prices. As low as 4% is pretty common in Auckland at the moment. So trying to be a reputable company, which we all know costs money to run a good company, is very hard with these young ones opening up. These small companies opening up. And what we're also finding as well is that maybe not immediately, but after about a year, the owners are beginning to realise the issues that come with hiring inexperienced property managers. And we have a bit of a joke around the office that we fix 6% property management mistakes. Yeah, so that's basically our marketplace. We cover a huge area.
Yeah, interesting to talk about the deregulation, and that's probably something that our listeners over in Australia who run property management businesses aren't familiar with, Natalie. And it's the discussions we've had offline, yourself and I, has definitely brought it to light for me, the challenges that you face as a business, not only against cut price agents, but cut price startup businesses who have never run a property management business before. So it must present some pretty big challenges from not only the agent side, but the people who are running a business out of their garage, so to speak, right?
Definitely. And I think if we're looking long term, how is it going to affect Auckland property management? Well, most investors who have been through one or two of these cheap property management companies, they've really suffered, and they've had to, you know, cough up to cover huge losses. You know, people vacating properties and taking all the furniture in a fully furnished house and owing $30,000 worth of rent. These things just don't happen when there's correct systems and controls in place. I'm shocked on a daily basis hearing the stories of what's happening out there. So I actually feel that a huge part of what we need to do is educate a marketplace, and that's hard. That's long and that's expensive. The other big thing that is happening is now that we're deregulated is nobody has to actually keep the money in a trust account. So we've had three trust accounts go missing, which was, I think the largest was 3.6 million. And the government, the national government, say, well, really, we don't think it's a priority, so we're not going to address it. And it's just costing more and more money. And I'm worried that it's going to continually reduce the amount of Auckland homes that are up for rental because investors just don't want to deal with it. They don't want to deal with that amount of risk. So a lot of it is about risk management. And we really have begun to change our marketing to communicate those couple of items, risk management, stress management, and the proficiencies. Mm.
Has there been any discussion about bringing back regulation, Natalie?
Oh, huge discussion. There's a lot of people who are very vocal. The Real Estate Institute, leading property managers in New Zealand. You can look at Bath and Thompson, Harcourts, all the big franchises. Everybody's thumping on the door of the beehive saying, come on, guys, this is ludicrous. And it really is, but it's, you know, it's another example of people not having an understanding of the value of these rent rolls and actually the assets that we're managing for people.
Well, that's I guess that's another discussion. We could probably go on all day about how it's affecting the asset value side. But for our listeners who are you know, thinking they have their own challenges where they're up against agents who are discounting their fees, just imagine for a moment that there was deregulation in your state. And imagine if there was no requirements to have a license to run a real estate business and how that would affect your business. I think that's a really scary thought. But Natalie, something else that I've always been interested in from speaking with you off air is how you segment your marketing into two personas. Can you describe what those two personas look like or buyer segments, if you will, what they look like and the impact that this has had on your marketing effectiveness?
Mm-hmm, no problem. We've actually added a third, which is what I was talking with you about, which is Wendell Executive, which is our new offering. We've only just launched this week, which is corporate executive rentals. Largely, we're working with people who have very high spec homes who generally get transferred overseas. And then we have equally prominent people wanting to move to Auckland generally for work, and they are relocated by their businesses and able to take on these high-end properties. And I just don't think anyone's been doing it that well in Auckland, so that's an enormous opportunity. The other two and more established marketplaces are homeowners, which we separate from investors. In Auckland, it's very popular to go overseas for 3 to 5 years, largely for work purposes. I always joke it's so that people can pay off their ludicrous mortgages. But they have to go overseas and they decide that, look, it was so hard to find a home that we love that we don't want to sell it. So what they decide to do is rent it out. And so we have a group of people in the office who specialise in teaching those homeowners what to expect and managing those properties because we find that they require a high level of detail. And they want to be more involved in any of the maintenance. For example, something happens in the tiled wall of the bathroom. They really want to be involved in, you know, can the right tiles be selected and what's going to happen and what's the tapware because they plan to come home to it. So it's very, very detailed. So the other portion of our segment would be our investors. And within that, we still break investors down into growth and hold. So we have a lot of investors who are very happy with the size of their portfolio and they really just want maintenance. Whereas some of the growth investors, you know, we really want to partner with them long term and assist them in growing their portfolio and achieving their goals. Both of those types of investors are less interested in details surrounding maintenance or what the tenants are doing and more interested on securing the long term returns.
So if we break this down for our listeners as well, Natalie, and both you and I come from a marketing background and understand the idea of segmentation in messaging and that sort of thing. But for our listeners who are thinking, look, you know, we market to our local area or out of area investors and that sort of thing, what you're essentially doing is creating marketing that is specific for homeowners, and the tone and the message and the look and the feel of that marketing is completely different to the tone, the look, and the feel of the marketing that is going to investors or your executive clients that you were referring to, correct?
Yeah, that's totally right. And I actually have different pods within the office. So you know how a lot of people will segregate groups of people in the office and they'll have pod one and pod two. Well, I have homeowner pod and investor pod. And so they actually sit together in the office and there are different types of people. And I think that's really important to note that we realise that people that are great with homeowners are generally petrified working with investors and vice versa. People that are great with investors don't generally have the patience to deal with the detail that homeowners require. So there's lots of ways to chop up your business and this is just the way that's worked for us.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. I mean, a lot of people ask the question, Natalie, especially over in Australia. I'm not sure if it's familiar over in New Zealand, but the discussion of portfolio versus task versus pod is something that I think happens every day of the week. Everyone's always asking that question. But what you've essentially done is breaking that down even further and put them into pods dealing with different segments of the market. And when did you put this in place? When was this, I guess, structure put in place at the office?
About 3 years ago, we really realized that training is going to be the most costly and time-consuming thing, and I just never think you ever finish with it. And what I was finding, though, is if you put people that have similar customers together, then even if one of them hasn't experienced something, then there's a possibility that the other two or three have. And they can actually work together to share that shared experience and resolve the problem without having to involve senior level management.
I think it's great. It's segmenting the department based on the client as opposed to segmenting the department based on the staff. And what was the impact? As soon as this new structure was put in place, obviously there was a period of time where training was involved and getting used to the new structure, but What was the impact?
Well, very quickly, you got groups of people in the office that really felt supported. So stress management was a huge thing. My complaints went down. I mean, I actually can't remember the last time I had a significant complaint, and that's hand on my heart, because there's such a collaborative attitude towards problem solving. And I guess the other really big thing is it cut down the amount of time we were having to spend training, because I wasn't trying to train everyone on everything. I was able to actually get really specific about it. And I guess the team then felt a better sense of like they had achieved something, accomplishment, expertise, because you were only asking them to master one element of what I think property management is nowadays. And so for them, I think they got to a place where they're really proud of what they are doing really quickly, because we don't hire anyone that's ever been a property manager before, so the learning curve is pretty steep. So it's nice if you can break it down. And the people that start at homeowner tend to be the newer ones, and the people start at the higher level investor maybe already have 3 or 4 years under their belt.
Yeah, I think we're only really just scratching the surface, Natalie. I'd love to talk to you all day about this sort of thing. I think it's really fascinating. But beside the many, many cool things that your team does, something I particularly admire about Wendell's approach to the customer experience is your commitment to client engagement, and even more specifically, the videos that you do for routine maintenance inspections. For our listeners who haven't been fortunate enough to see the example on your website, or those who haven't seen me speak where I've used it as an example numerous times, can you describe to our listeners why you started doing these videos and the impact this has had on client loyalty and engagement?
Well, I find that customers believe a portion of what you say or write, but when they can see it with their own eyes, it's like you get immediate buy-in. And it really can reassure people. You know, if you're on the other side of the world and it's your family home and there's a massive issue, a leak that pours water through 3 levels of your home, and I tell you, oh, no, Josh, it's fine. You think, oh, okay, she says it's fine, but you still worry until you can see it with your own eyes. So we use it very much as a confidence builder and a relationships builder. We do charge for it sometimes, but generally we do it as an add-on when people, we feel, really need that just little bit of encouragement to really trust us.
Just to describe it for our listeners, Natalie, it's something, it blew me away the first time I saw it. I'd certainly encourage everyone to go and have a look at it on your website. I'm assuming it's still there.
It is, yes.
Yeah, great example. But what are some of the other things that you've put in place to increase client engagement, and especially considering the amount of deregulation there is in New Zealand and obviously how many homeowners manage their own properties over in New Zealand as well. So what are some of the other things that you put in place to increase client engagement to keep them as a client rather than them go and manage their own property?
Well, we treat each property as if it's a business. So yes, we do the routine inspections and we talk to them about maintenance required and what the tenants are doing, lease and rent control. But then we also have a paragraph where we actually discuss potential that they have. You know, has the property gone up hugely in value you? Did they want me to put them in touch with people that could get them finance in place to buy another? Are they in a position where they've actually got an extra piece of land at the back? Could we look at subdivision? Look, you've got a great rental property, but we always lose people in winter. Why don't we look at actually upgrading your heating and your insulation and putting an HRV in? Your kitchen and bathroom are really letting the place down. If you go around the corner, I rented a place for $150 more a week than what I'm renting yours out, but it had a new kitchen and bathroom. Would you like me to project manage that for you? And when you begin to have these very value-add conversations with owners, they really go, hey, you're actually really thinking about this and you're really trying to find more ways to help me get ahead faster.
Well, at the end of the day, that's what the property management is all about, correct? I mean, it's not just collecting rent these days. It is about having that trusted authority that's going to increase the value of your investment. I think that gets missed in a lot of offices, Natalie, especially with newcomers to the industry where the owner of the business is not hands-on in property management. They think it is just that department that collects rent.
Yes.
But more and more, as we see business owners understand the value of their rent roll, we're seeing that they're putting a little bit more effort into that. If for a business owner who's out there who isn't quite as involved in property management, what would you say to a business owner on, you know, where should they start in getting their staff really trained up to that, I guess, that level of more of an advisory role, as you described? What would you say to a business owner to really get started on that side of the business?
Probably work out what their owners want first. And I don't think there's any better way than to sit down and phone them. I mean, if you don't have any idea of currently where things are at, I think it's a great way to start. If you don't have the time, think about doing something like a MailChimp. And with something like SurveyMonkey, you can actually send it out to your owners and actually get their feedback as to what they want, because it's all very well walking out into the marketplace with all these ideas, but unless you actually ask your marketplace what it wants, you're blind. And then the other thing I really recommend to people who are not hands-on in their business is really learn to read your graphs and your reports and your KPIs and understand what they mean, because it's the best way to motivate your staff to become more value orientated when you actually know how to measure them and then how to measure the effect that value has on your customers.
Well, something else you've got so many challenges over there with owner occupiers homeowners that are managing their own property and people that are out there managing property who aren't licensed and that sort of thing, Natalie, but it must be a challenge in itself. And I know your background in marketing has brought you a wealth of knowledge in this area. What are some of the branding, little branding things that you're doing to really stay front of mind around the marketplace? I know you've got your little cars and that sort of thing, but can you describe that for our listeners and maybe some other things that you're working on from a branding perspective?
Yeah, sure. All my favourite things. Good question. look, I think that people like to work with brands that make them feel good. And I know I should probably have some more marketing jargon to throw in there, but I do things that make people laugh and make people go, hey, that's cool. Whether it's we've just done a whole bunch of new sign-written cars, which is an awesome experience. And I think a lot of people spend a lot of money on them but really miss the opportunity because they just look like a mobile business card. But to the company called Foxtons, which have been doing this for, over a decade now. And every year they'd release a new edition car and it was like a piece of artwork. And I remember loving them, thinking, that is so cool. So now we do it here. We get different artists to do things and we also do gifts for people who refer us. So we have a whole bunch of really quirky things that we do. So we've created these limited edition tea towels designed by an artist, which we give to each tenant before they move into a property. And initially I was a wee bit nervous about this. It was a bit of a risk. No one out there was really doing it. But it was a reasonably cheap way at $4.26 per person to actually give them a bit of a gift that was a bit different. So rather than the typical roll of toilet paper and box of matches, we give them something that's a little bit cool, a little bit different. And I've seen tenants pin it up to the walls, using it. You know, people really comment on it. So I guess that's how we look at marketing. How can we do things that are a little bit different that maybe don't cost the earth, that really make people smile and go, hey, they're a cool company to work with.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the little cars that you've just had branded up. I think it's a really neat little addition. They must stand out driving around Auckland, yeah?
Yes, they really, really do. And people's feedback is like, hey, that's really cool. It makes people smile. I mean, let's be honest, property management isn't the sexiest industry in the world. I mean, I absolutely love it, but it's not the sexiest. But if we can engage with people and actually, you know, get out there and say, hey, we're actually doing really great things here. We're worth talking to. Then it's amazing the kind of feedback that you get from people.
Well, Natalie, I want to now turn the spotlight onto moments of your career that have made you who you are today. And we often hear the 20,000-foot view of someone's success in real estate. But here on the Real Estate Pros podcast, we want to take it down to that ground level of actual moments in time in your career where you've either failed or succeeded. So with that in mind, can you tell us a story? Take us there with you of a moment in your journey of where you felt like you'd failed, and tell us what happened and how it made you feel.
Probably we were about a year into buying the business. I was a bit gung-ho, pretty rough and ready property manager and even rougher manager, I think. And we had been running the company by the book. We were doing everything properly. And it was boring and it wasn't engaging people and we weren't getting great results. You know, we were very good at mediocrity. And I had this moment of just going, why am I doing this? I had an incredible career in London. Did I give it all up to be in this little office in Sandringham that just smelt awful and I hated it? So I had this courageous moment of, well, if I could redesign the business, say we were starting from scratch, what would it look like? And so we got really clear about it and decided that that's what we were going to do. And that took me standing up to my very experienced business partners at the time and saying, look, the old way isn't working. There's simply no property managers. We were having a real drought in New Zealand. And so we can't just keep hiring existing property managers. We've got to start hiring people that come from other service industries who we can train up and really create something great here. We've got to relook at our marketing. Why does it have to be so boring? Why do we only have to talk about returns and vacancy rates? Yeah. Surely there's something more that people want to engage with. And so it was a lot of heated discussions over bottles of wine at night. And eventually we kind of chipped away at it and created something that we're really excited about. And then we spent 4 years trying to make it happen and working and getting two steps ahead and then falling down. Two steps ahead, falling down. You know, every time I lose a staff member, it really, really cuts. And the couple of times that I think I've felt at my lowest has been with someone that I've really seen as a long-term part of our business leaves.
Take us there with you, Natalie, of a day that whether it was a staff member leaving or a client that had said something to you, was there ever a stage in that 4 years during those heated discussions there was a day where you felt like, you know what, property management or this real estate thing really isn't for me?
Yeah, so I just hired two of these wonderful young bright things, and the person, my husband actually, who had interviewed both the girls as well as I had, said, oh, the second one, you've only got 10 months with her, maybe 12. She left after 8 months. It takes me 6 months to train someone in this industry. And I guess what really hurt me wasn't the input I'd had in her and the time and energy that I'd really invested in there. It was that she left me for more money with someone that I know in the industry is to be very much a crook, you know, really dodgy deals and stuff. And I thought, oh no, not only have I lost this wonderful person who I really think can really add to this industry, but they're going to work for yet another person in Auckland who doesn't care, who's not involved in the property management, and who's probably going to burn them out, and they're going to end up leaving. And within 3 weeks, she was on the phone in tears saying she wished she'd never left. What should she do? And we're still good friends today. But that's what really cuts to me, is when you've got someone who has so much potential and the industry burns them, not necessarily us.
Yeah, I think it's a really valuable lesson. Thanks so much for sharing that story too, Natalie. It must be a pretty sort of touchy subject for you, I'm sure. But I think there's a lesson in there for every business owner. You know, the old saying by Richard Branson, you know, train them well enough so that they will leave you, but treat them well enough so that they won't. At the end of the day, you are going to have people that leave you. It's going to happen. But one, they're going to go out with some class, and two, they're going to respect you as a leader, and you never know when that might come back to benefit you.
Completely. And the fact that We've only had 3 people leave in the past 4 years, and 2 of them remain very good friends on a personal level, and one of them is a very good business colleague. And I really do believe that Auckland, like a lot of other marketplaces, is just too small to do the dirty on people, and it's not a good way to run your business. And Josh, that quote from Richard Branson, that's my screensaver. It's like you're in my head.
Fantastic. Let's take it to the other end of the spectrum. Can you tell us a story that sticks out in your mind of a moment where you felt like the formula you had in place was the right way to go about growing a real estate business? And again, take us there with you. Tell us another story of a day that this happened and what was going through your mind, and how did that make you feel?
Well, it was the Monday after I'd taken the whole team to Queenstown for a weekend, and only half of us had actually gone to the conference that was on the week before. But we just thought, why don't we just fly everyone down, and we put them all up in a hotel, and we rented cars and did this hilarious tiki tour, and it was just not about work. Everyone was just laughing and having a good time, and we've really got a good bunch here. And then that morning after, everyone's on a high, we're back at work, and one of my most treasured staff members walks into my office and says, Barnabas, who's one of our guys now, he said, oh, I just had a wonderful time, thank you so much. And Barnabas and Claire were married, and we'd just invited him down as a partner, and he's got a wonderful hospitality background. And then lo and behold, Claire says, oh, yes, Barnabas would like to talk to you about coming to work with you. And I wasn't making Queenstown about recruitment or retention, but I just had that moment of, wow, like, you love being here so much that you'd give me your husband. And Barnabas has been with us 8 months now, nominated as Rising Star for New Zealand. Probably one of the most celebrated with our customers. He really just wins them over really quickly. And in his most recent review, I said, oh, what, you know, how long would you like to be with us? What are you planning on doing, type thing? He said, I'd like to be with you till I retire. And I just had this moment of, oh, they're drinking the Kool-Aid. They get what I'm trying to do here. It was, you know, just the best moment that you, it's not about what we pay them. It's not about what we give them on a day-to-day, but they just really buy into what we're trying to create, and they want to be part of something.
I love that. I think it proves the point that, you know, we have to spend time building attraction businesses for our team and other people that believe in our business as much as we do, Natalie. And it gets talked about time and time again, you know, about building an attraction business for clients. But really, when you've got other people wanting to come and work for you, that's when you've really got something, haven't you?
Yeah, and it's no greater buzz than really connecting with people and seeing them succeed and build something and do better by themselves and by other people. It's I get a real buzz out of it. It's awesome.
Take us to today, Natalie. What are you working on right now that's getting you guys fired up and excited?
Wow. Okay. Gosh, where do I start with that? And I guess the big thing that we're working on at the moment is we're completely rebuilding the website and also tying in that Wendell Executive, which is that executive corporate offering that we're doing. And that's been a long time coming. You know, we've been working on our relationships with relocation agents, with the HR departments of all the major firms that are represented in Auckland, all the major banks. And then really ensuring that we understand home automation, all these highly detailed items now that houses have that are a lot more advanced than your traditional rental property. So there's been a lot of upskilling, a lot of discussion about that whole service component, you know, what's in the house when the new tenants walk in? Are we arranging a cleaner and a gardener for them? How does it feel for them to walk into their new house, remembering that they've never seen it, somebody's delivered their furniture and set it up for them? You know, how really can you appeal to someone like that and really rock their world? So it's been a really interesting out-of-the-box process, and I'll have to let you know in months to come how it's going.
I can't wait. Well, Natalie, thanks so much for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'll ask you 5 quick questions and get you to come back with 5 quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from the Steps Real Estate Industry Social Media Survey, where we interviewed real estate professionals from all around Australia about how they're using social media to market their business. We found that 63% of real estate professionals are not paying to promote content on social media. So with very few paying to promote content, while organic reach continues to decline, is there an opportunity for you to start considering how paid social media can form part of your overall marketing strategy online? If you're paying to promote your content on social media, I would love to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Natalie, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
Bernard Yeo was my boss at Kai Mayfair in London. We won the Michelin star together. I've never met someone who is an Olympic athlete, Vogue photographer, and owns a Michelin star restaurant. Rock star at all he does.
Natalie, what is your favourite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Be with my son. Don't mind where we are.
Fantastic. What is your favourite business book that you've ever read and why?
Probably Seth Godin's Purple Cow. I think that's an awesome book. Read it.
It's been recommended, I think it was John Knight on episode number 29 or 30 of the show actually recommended the exact same book. I haven't read it myself. Natalie, can you give our listeners a bit of a background of what it's all about?
It's about looking at your marketplace and what everyone else is doing in their marketing and then doing something that's totally different. Example, you're driving down the highway, there's all these brown Jersey cows and then you see a purple cow. You want to be the purple cow in your marketplace.
Natalie, what is your favourite technology or online resource that you use daily to help run a better business?
Hands down, it has to be Inspect Real Estate. It has made my phones almost dead and has made my property managers so much more effective and the communication between them regarding viewing so much clearer. I just think we're putting better tenants in every day.
Natalie, it's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. If you had to choose one thing, just one, that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, what would it be and what would your advice be to overcome it?
Ego. Absolutely. And to overcome it, understand that you're there as a service and your service wouldn't exist without your owners, without your tenants and without your tradespeople. And I'm humbled on a daily basis by how much these people work to assist me on a daily basis.
Well, Natalie, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favourite success quote? I think I know the answer to this one. And how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
It's probably by Girth, not the one you're thinking, Josh.
Okay.
So be bold. Boldness has genius and power and magic in it. And I think, you know, if you're looking at everything that we do, being bold is probably the best thing that I think you can hold to your heart and really give everything a go.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources that Natalie has kindly shared with us today, along with all of the show notes by visiting our website at steps.com.au/Natalie Wendell. Well, Natalie, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge and advice today. I know that people are going to enjoy the content that you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about Wendell Property Management?
I'd love for you to connect with me and feel free to connect with me via email, which is natalie@wendellproperty.co.nz, or connect with me on LinkedIn. You can go from there.
Natalie, it's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh. Have a great day.
Well, that's it for this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we love reviews to help us get found. So please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy the show, we'd love to hear from you about how we can improve. Because at the end of the day, this show has all started to help you, the real estate pro. Until next time, I'm Josh Cobb. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.